Is it on? It is on. It is really, really on. We're ready? Good morning, Teresa, Aunt Helen, Aunt Diane, Lori, Sherry, Johnny, Christy, John, all your family. We love you, and we're happy you're going to worship with us this morning. Amen? Let's pray and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite your presence here, Lord, to destroy yokes and lift burdens. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Feel it, it's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, won't you choose? Image of love upon death. My Savior's God,
praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. We bless you, Father. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And we thank you for your presence among us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Hey, Terry, is there any chance? I don't know. I just feel it in my heart. Could we sing What a Beautiful Name It Is? Is that okay? Hallelujah. We'll do that for the offering. Glad we got a security guard back there. Hallelujah. He looks tough. Glory, glory, glory. Anybody need an offering envelope? Get them while they're hot. Make your lips go flippity-flop. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh, we glorify your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We thank you for seed that you have given us to sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. Place that in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Before you.
bless you, Father, this morning. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And we just give you glory and honor and praise this morning. We lift up our sister Cheryl to you and Teresa, Lord God. They are battling and believing and trusting in you, Lord God. And Father, we just give you glory and honor and praise this morning. We ask that your anointing be upon your word. Anoint our hearts, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Got your Bibles this morning? Turn to page 974 if you got a Bible like mine. If you don't, turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty, mighty name. Jeremiah chapter 9. Hallelujah. 23. Amen. 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 Janie said there's no more precious name on this earth than Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. We good up there? Hallelujah. We good? You need Caleb's attention? Okay, all right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when Caleb was little, he liked dinosaurs from the get-go. You know, and he had dinosaur books, and we took him to, took him and his brother to the Schottenstein Center in Columbus one time, and were walking with dinosaurs, and they had these life-size dinosaurs, and I remember he was like 4 years old. Had this, we bought him this big old book that they sold, you know, and because there was some education in it, but they really wanted mom and dad and grandpa's money, you know. So, but anyway, I'll never forget. This woman looked up in the ceiling, and there was some kind of prehistoric bird. And she said, oh, there's a pterodactyl. And Caleb at four said, no, that's a something, something, something. And he found the picture in the book and showed us. And sure enough, the little four-year-old was right. You know, at first I was nervous because, you know, you're too young to be telling this adult they're wrong, okay? I know what that would have got me if I'd have done that around my mother. It would have been ugly, okay? So, but anyway, so he liked dinosaurs, and we've seen every dinosaur movie that, you know, that's ever been made at least 152 times. But there's this one scene in one of them dinosaur movies where there's the Velociraptor. You know, they're the bad guys. Anybody seen the Jurassic Park movies? It's okay, you're not going to hell if you've seen a Jurassic Park movie, okay? All right? There's nothing in here that says you're going to hell if you've seen one of those movies. But there's one time in there, the Velociraptors are loose. And so the old boy's hunting. He's got his gun. And he's hunting. And he's looking for it. And he's all ready for it to pop up over there. And lo and behold, it pops up right beside him. Well, the story doesn't end too well with that guy. There's another time I was turkey hunting with my brother. And he had never killed a turkey, and so I was doing the calling. And I was back about 20 yards behind him. And man, that turkey just every, I mean, I couldn't even finish a call. That thing would, probably turkeys outside now. Oh, anyway, got some turkeys in here. Oh, I'm just kidding, everybody relax. And so anyway, this turkey's coming, and I'm like, oh man, he's going to shoot anytime. Gord had his gun up and everything ready. And I heard something. I heard a branch break to my left. And I turned my head. And that turkey had come to me, went all the way around and came to the call and bypassed Gordy. Now, how that happened, I don't know. But you know, the point I want to make is this. In the movie, the hunter became the hunted. Did he not? And you know, me and Gord's hunting a turkey, but it sure looked like the turkey was a hunting us. The turkey was a hunting that sound, because he was a tom turkey, and he was looking for that female turkey that was making that noise. And so the hunters became the hunted. Now, I want to tell you something right now, a little bit about God. You know, we should all, our number one priority in life should be the pursuit of God. A.W. Tozier wrote a little book years ago, probably 50s, 60s, called The Pursuit of God. And I read that book years ago. I read that book several times. But it's about our life and what's going on in our life and how we're in pursuit of everything but God. But what Tozier tries to do is bring your focus on to God. Bring your focus on searching for God, looking for God. You know, the Bible, God says, seek me while I may be found. Amen. See, because what I have found is when you get in pursuit of God, you're the hunter, but pretty soon it doesn't take God long till God's in hot pursuit of you. And so the hunter then becomes the hunted. Amen? Because God's desire for you is that you be in an intimate relationship with Him. But you know what? If I can be honest, and I'm as guilty as the next person, we let the cares of this life, we let all the cares, all the worry, all the fret, we let everything in this life dictate what we're in pursuit of. Amen. Amen. Now look what Jeremiah says. Well, God's word to Jeremiah. And this is absolutely my favorite passage of Scripture. On September 7th, 1990, I gave my heart to the Lord. It wasn't very long after that. I not only gave my heart, I consecrated and dedicated my life to God. And I told God then, if you will show me yourself, I will serve you. And He filled me with His Holy Spirit, and I haven't looked back since. There's been some times in my life where I've gotten off focus, and God's had to reel me back in. But I've never, ever, from that point in my life, I've always been God-centric. What's that mean? God has been the center of my life. I give God praise for the little things. Now, I had an uncle of mine. He needs Jesus. He needs saved. I went to see him, and he said, you know, he put up the defense right away. You know, he didn't really, we talked about everything. And then he brought up God. And I said, well, now that you brought up God. And he said, here we go. The whole reason you came here. I said, well, you know it was. You knew it was. He said, son, you're just too God-centered for me. I thought about that for a minute. And I thought, well, that's a compliment. You didn't mean it as a compliment, but I'm going to take that as a compliment. Because I've told my children, my grandchildren, the Bible says every good and precious gift comes from God. And everything we have in life comes from God. Well, I worked for it. Yes, you did. But God rewarded your labors. Amen? So every good thing we get at Christmas, you know, my kids and grandkids understand that because we have a few gifts, it has nothing to do with me or grandma. It has everything to do with God. Amen. I get up in the morning, I thank God. Because I got another day of breath, another day, another opportunity to praise Him. So if that's the case, you know, then I am God-centered. I thank God for my meals. I thank God for the blessings of life. So yes, I am God-centered. But I think every blood-bought, spirit-filled Christian ought to be God-centric. God should be the center focal point of their life. I can honestly tell you, and it may have something to do with the call of God on my life. I'm sure it does. I don't go very far during the day that I don't think of God. And of course, it could be from being raised in the church, too. Being raised up in the Nazarene church, you know, I thank God for those roots. Because even though they told me some things I don't agree with today, one thing they told me, Bernie, is that altar's always open. They knew what a rascal I was, so they wanted to make sure that I knew that altar was open anytime I needed to go there. Amen? Amen? So if I'm God-centered or God-centric, that's a good thing. Amen? Yes, I believe the only thing that can turn this nation around is a revival, the presence of God's Spirit in this nation. Amen? So if that makes me God-centered, God-centric, then yes, I am. Now look what Jeremiah says. In 1990, I read this scripture, and it is... I have tried to build my life on it. I've tried to build this ministry on this. If you've noticed, anybody knows, we're not the normal church. We're not. We're a little bit different. And here's why. God's word says in verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Look what he says. He tells the prophet Jeremiah, he said, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Now, the word know in Hebrew, there's several words for know, but they all come from basically the same root word. But the word da'at can mean to know. Like I know Bernie. He's an acquaintance of mine. And unfortunately, most Christians, they just are acquainted with God. They know about God. Tommy Tenney, an author, years ago, he wrote a book called The God Chasers. I highly recommend you read that book. But don't read it. Don't read it if you're not serious about chasing after God. But I remember some of the things he said, and one of the things he said was this. You know, you can read this word about God, and you can hear stories about God. But God didn't tell us, the command here in Jeremiah is not that we should know about God. The command is that we should know God. And the word know also means to know intimately. Amen. Abraham knew Sarah and she conceived a son. How many know they weren't just acquainted? Amen. And see, so God is seeking you and I, and we should be in search for him. We need God's presence, like I preached last week. We need God's presence. And can I tell you a little secret? When I'm preaching to you all, it's because God's been dealing with me on the very same subject. So don't you ever think that when I come in here to preach that I've arrived and I'm preaching down to you. I'm not. I'm in the foxhole with you. I'm trying to work this thing out with you. Amen? I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I know some Christians that think they're perfect. Nobody's enlightened them yet. If they hang around me long enough, I usually speak my mind. But, you know, I've been trying to be nice. It's a newer, improved version. You know, I'm probably still going to say what's on my mind. I am my mother's child, you know. But you know what? It's not enough for me to know about God. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. And like the Apostle Paul said, and I'm going to read it later, Paul said he wanted to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Turn with me to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. Have you ever had one of those weeks that just was so full of distractions? And I couldn't hardly wait to get to church today. I was like, at least once the music starts, there won't be any distractions. You know, there's all kinds of things this week trying to get me off my game, you know. 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1775, that's probably a good year. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. So who's he writing to? He's writing to believers. Believers in what? Believers that Jesus is Messiah. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's saying, he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. They believe Jesus is the Messiah with us by the right. How did they obtain this? By the righteousness of God. Now, what have I told you about the righteousness of God? When you see the righteousness of God, think that the righteousness of God is God's ability to fulfill the promises He made. Amen. So here, the righteousness of God, or the promises that God has made, they're found in Jeremiah 31:31. When God said He's going to make a new covenant with you, He's going to write His laws on the tablets of your heart. A new covenant, He says. So God fulfills that promise through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And because God fulfilled that promise, there are people here that Peter's writing to that have obtained that precious faith in Jesus as Messiah. Amen? And then he goes on to say in verse 3, as this divine, or verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Did you see that? He says grace, what we say grace was, the Hebrew word for grace, hin, and it means to pitch His tent with you. God wants to dwell with you. God wants to pitch His tent with you. Amen? Grace and peace. What peace? God's peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Now watch what he says. Grace, God's presence, and God's peace is multiplied. How's it multiplied? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So as we grow in our intimacy with God, then God's grace, God's presence here, God's favor, and God's peace is multiplied in our life. In other words, the more God-centered you become, the more of God's presence you'll enjoy, and the more of God's peace that passes all understanding will be a part of your life. And he goes on to say in verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge,
to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, I got to tell you something. There's a large portion of Christianity today, they are barren and unfruitful in their knowledge of Jesus. Let me explain something to you. There are some denominations, now we'll pick on a couple of them here, but I don't really mean to be mean, okay? See, that one of the differences in this church and other churches, and I'm going to brag on you a little bit, is what we're about here is we want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. Amen? Amen. I'm not trying to take you people here and make you good Methodists. I'm not trying to make you good Nazarenes. I'm not trying to make you good Baptists. All I want you to do is grow in your knowledge and understanding of God. Amen. Amen. Because if you grow in your knowledge and understanding of God, guess what? God's nature in you will begin to change you. Amen. Amen. And you'll start producing the fruit of God. Look what he said. Look how Peter wrote it. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue can be character. Virtue can be translated as character, godly character, doing the right thing at the right moment. Amen. Amen. How many know? Somebody's always watching you. Amen. Character is doing the right thing when you think nobody's watching. But somebody's always watching. I remember one time this preacher told me, he said, I can't even remember the movie. He said, oh, y'all go see this movie. It's a really good movie. And he said, but I wouldn't go in Jackson. He said, because somebody might see you in there. Like, what do I care if somebody sees me in there? If I don't care that God sees me in there? I said, I'm more afraid of God than I don't want to offend him. I don't care about somebody else, you know, if they see me in there. But I for sure not going in there, but not because somebody in Jackson will see me. I don't want God to see me in there. If I got to sneak, can I tell you something? If you got to sneak around and do it, it probably is not right. Don't be doing it. See, but if you never speak to God, if you don't have a relationship with God, you're just going about your life, your busy life, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're going 100 miles an hour and you don't ever take any time with God, you'll probably start sneaking around. See, it's God's presence in my life that influences my life. Amen. It's God's presence in our lives that should be influencing our lives. Amen. Not the outside world influencing us, but it's God's presence and God's word in our lives that should influence our lives. Let me keep going here. Verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter, writing to believers, tells them several times, and I'm going to go back to verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Turn with me to Job. Let's go over to Job real quick. Job. See, church, I gotta say this to you. If we're not growing in our knowledge, our intimacy with God, what are we doing? I mean, I think that's... I'm not trying to get to heaven. Can I tell you that? I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm not trying to get you to heaven. What? Heaven will take care of itself. I want you to know God and His Son. I want you to enjoy Him now. Right. Amen. And I'll prove it to you here in a minute. Job chapter 42, page 679, got Bible like mine, verse 1. I tell you, you got to go back and read verse 40 and 40, or chapter 40 and 41, because God is blistering Job and his buddies. Amen. And it's... He's letting them have it. But in verse 1 it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?" See, Job's buddies was giving him counsel without the knowledge of God. Be careful who speaks into your life. You with me? Then not everybody will be looking out for your best. I better get off of that. That'd get me in trouble. Let me read verse 3 again. "You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me." Now watch. "I have heard of you by the hearing of ears, but now my eye sees you." See, most people that go to church, and even as a kid growing up, I knew all the Bible stories, Grace. I knew about God. But I didn't really know God. And the only thing I knew about God is I was a sinner saved by grace, but if I messed up, God was going to get me. And that was my idea growing up with God. And I've told you about the big evangelist they brought into our church in Marietta when I was a teenager. Had the dark glasses and had his hair all greased back. And he'd preach hellfire and brimstone. Whoo, scare me. I used to shove Gordy in the bedroom, then flip on the light. I figured the boogeyman, he was bait. Boogeyman was in there. I'd sacrifice my little brother. I loved him. And then somebody said, God loves you. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started reading this Bible. I read the Apostle Paul said that the Holy Spirit is given, and that Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in my heart, one towards another. Amen. And I read where nothing can separate us, nor death, nor life, nor width or height can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. Amen. And I started, and God began, as I was searching for God, God began to develop in me a different attitude towards Him. That He was a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. That He was looking out for my best. Amen. And He wasn't ready to whack me, but He was ready to pick me up. Amen. 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 All right, let me keep going. I want you to go over to John real quick. John 17. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's been hard plowing this morning. But we'll persevere. John chapter 17. Verse 1. Page 1474. Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah whom you have sent." Let's go back to verse 2. He says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, some people will use that verse to preach predestination. But you know what? No man comes unto the Father unless he's wooed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about those who the Father has wooed. Amen. And he says the ones that are given to him are the ones who Jesus has, or the Holy Spirit has wooed, and they've made Jesus Lord and Savior. But Jesus tells us that eternal life is knowing God, the only true God, he says in verse 3, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. See, I think this is what makes us different. See, I'm not trying to get you into heaven. I want you to experience eternity here. The writer of Ecclesiastes says that we have a spark of eternity in us. That means you're a spirit. Your spirit is housed in this body. But your spirit, how many of you looked in the mirror this morning and you realized that the body that God has given you is fading? Amen. It's not what it used to be. Okay? Because it's getting older, right? Mm-hmm. So the body is not an eternal being, but the spirit. The spirit is eternal. Amen? All right, now, real quick, I want us to go to Psalm 63. I'll finish here in just a few minutes. Psalm 63. And because you are an eternal being, an eternal God wants to reside in you. Amen. Amen. He wants you to speak to him. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to love him. He wants to love you back. Amen. He wants to multiply his grace and his peace in your life as you grow in the knowledge of him. Verse 1 of Psalm 63, page 733. He says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. That's an idiom for an abundance. Your soul's going to be satisfied with abundance. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Look what he says in verse 6. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Last week or the week before in Sunday school, Bernie talked about the word muse. To meditate means to mutter or to think on. Greek word for meditate is muse, means to think. Now in the Greek, anytime you put an A in front of a word, it carries the idea of anti. Like we have Christ, we have Antichrist, right? So muse, if we put the word, or we put the letter A in front of muse, which means to think, to ponder, to meditate, to mutter. We put an A in front of it. It means what? Anti-thinking. And it's the root word for amuse or amusement. You see where our society's at? We're all about being entertained and being amused. But God's telling us, hey, listen, the psalmist says here, I meditate. I'm thinking on you. Why are you thinking on him? I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Amen. How quick do we forget sometimes that God has been our help for all these years? We need to meditate on him. Amen. You know, I got a whole bunch more scriptures, but I'm going to close. I want you to go to Philippians. Philippians. I don't know what page. I don't know what chapter. I don't know what verse. So relax. I think it's chapter 3. All right, here we go. Page 1663, chapter 3, verse 1. He says in verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day by the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteous which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Paul says, hey, everything I've lost, see, he's just went down his, he's told you his history. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had the finest education. He was going up the political and religious ladder. Paul was well known. Paul was well versed. Paul was commissioned by the Pharisees and the priesthood to persecute the Christian church. But now Paul says, I count all that stuff, all that future stuff, all that, you know, easy living. He says, I count it as loss. It's okay that I may gain Christ. Paul's saying, I gave up all that because of Messiah. And that's okay. And then he goes on to say, look at verse 9. Let me go back a minute. I need to read it all together. Verse 8. "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may watch, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." The hunter became the hunted. Messiah grabbed a hold of Paul. God grabbed a hold of each one of us. When we got born again, he wooed us, he drawed us, he gripped our hearts, brought us to the place of understanding that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. God is in pursuit of us. Shouldn't we be in pursuit of him? Amen. I mean, if there's a way that I can multiply God's grace and peace, God's presence and God's peace in my life, I need to do it. Don't you think in the world we live in today, we need God's presence? We need God's peace? Amen. Now, let me share something with you, and we'll take communion. Getting on the path to knowing God begins with repentance. Amen. Amen. That's where it begins. But the church has been, we've been so about getting people into heaven that, you know, we've said a prayer, got them to pray a prayer, took them to the nearest creek, broke the ice, dunked them so they could get to heaven. Now you just hang on, hold out on Jordan's stormy banks until the promised land comes. I don't want that. I'm sorry, I don't want that. I want to know God. And I hope you want to know God. And my focus, I've got a little out of focus in the last couple years. God's dealing with me, bringing me back into focus. That's a good thing. Why is that a good thing? It means he hadn't given up on me. See, when God starts bringing you back, don't take it as a bad thing. Say, oh, God's not through with me yet. Remember that song? Used to be a song, I think a kid sang it. You know, God's not finished with me yet. I can't remember how it went. He's made me what I ought to be, or he's making me what I ought to be. Amen. So what makes us different is we are in pursuit of God. Are you still praying for revival? You know, I believe with all my heart, Leonard Ravenhill. I don't know if you know Leonard Ravenhill. He's probably not alive now. But back in the 60s, he wrote a series of books, and I think his son, David Ravenhill, wrote some books. But Leonard Ravenhill wrote a book called Praying for Revival. And if you still buy that book, if you buy that book and you want to read it, do it at your own peril. And do it with a box of Kleenexes. Because if you read those pages, and he incorporates a lot of the Word of God, you'll repent multiple times. Because you'll realize, man, I haven't given you everything that I should have. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Nobody wants to see Jesus any better than me, any worse than me. But you know what? And I say it all the time, and you probably say it all the time, especially when there's difficulty in our lives or difficulty in our family's lives. We're like, oh, just come, Lord Jesus, come. Anybody ever said that? I mean, that's a good thing. But I said that this week, and God quickened my spirit. Let me know, that's a cop-out. That's just a cop-out. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Get to know me. He's in the foxhole with us. Amen. I want to see him so bad. I know he'll fix the problems of this world. But I got to stay in the fight. You got to stay in the fight. I like what Paul said. Paul told the church at Corinth, you know, hey, guess what, guys? It'd be far better for me to go to be with the Lord. But he said it'd be far better for you if I stay. Amen. So we're all in this together. Let's make up our mind. We're going to seek after God. We're going to run hard after God. God's reworking my focus. So I'm sorry you guys had to get in on my, you know, God taking me out to the outbuilding and wearing me out this week. I had to lay it on you. Sorry. Not really. I'm not really sorry, but. Grace, won't you and Lucy help me this morning? You'll have to unbundle her. I'll give you the easy one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. My Lord.
Even so. Hey, Caleb, holler down at your grandma. Hallelujah. If you can hear me, Debbie, we're having communion. She'll be up just a second. Even so. Everybody been served. Father, we love you this morning. Father, I pray that Lord God, that you would help us focus on what is important in our lives, that you are number one, that people tell us that we are God-centered, God-centric. Father, we love you this morning. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you and we glorify you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. And Lord Jesus, when you instructed your disciples, you told them to take of this communion table. And when they did it, they were to do it in remembrance of you. This morning, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we eat of your body. Hallelujah. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim. To life. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that this cup represents your blood, your life poured out at Calvary. We also thank you that it, as your bride, it's that fourth cup in the betrothal ceremony. By drinking of this cup, it becomes a symbol of our vow to stay faithful until you come. It's with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you that we drink of your life. Hallelujah. Stand up with me this morning. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. Father, I lift up Teresa and Cheryl. I lift up Wilma to you, Lord God. I pray for your healing anointing. I pray for your peace that passes all understanding, to come down upon them, Lord God. Father, I thank you for all you've done and all you're doing here at Church of the King. And Father, I just pray that you give us someone this week that we can testify and share about the love of God
that we can share what you have done in our lives. For that, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. We'll be here. Hallelujah.